So how many of you have bought your Mother's Day cards by now? I hope you have. It's a little late. I have to tell you that there's not much left at Safeway. I can tell you that from experience on my way to church. But I found a good one, Holly. And how many of you tend to like a more sentimental, sweet kind of card? Raise your hand. How many of you like to get that kind of? How many of you go to the more for humor with your? How many of you even get your mom a card? There's only about a third of the hands that went up. Anyway, today I've decided to not go sweet and sentimental with you for Mother's Day. This is more Lee Ferrell kind of. Did I say a lot there? You know exactly where I'm going. So mothers are slightly insane, according to J.D. Salinger. And I love that quote. It sort of bookends what Nicole was praying for sanity for our mothers, especially those who are caring for young children. I think children sometimes are part of the reason that mothers' sanity is tested. Mom, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world? Oh, I don't know, dear. You'll have to ask Grandma. I hope none of you have actually ever said that to your kids. Have you ever had this phone conversation with your mother? Yep, okay, all right, okay, all right, yes, I will, yep, okay, all right, and then, oh, I love you too, bye. Anyone ever been part of that kind of conversation? Anyone ever been on the mom? Oh, my daughter's raising her hand. These look sort of sweet, but they're not. Don't worry, kids, mom doesn't have a favorite, you all annoy me equally. Or, I see all those moms who can do everything, and then I think, I should have them do some stuff for me. Wouldn't you love to have one of those super moms come to your house and clean it and cook and do all that stuff? Mom's famous sayings. Can you join me in these? Because I said so, that's why. I don't know is not an answer. Eat your vegetables. Beds are for sleeping and not jumping on. No one said life is fair. Have you ever used that, mom? Come on. Have you ever used that, dad? Dave Chaffee's shaking his head. Your hands are not broken. Your face is going to freeze like that. Wait until your father gets home. I don't care who started it or what part of no don't you understand. And I didn't really know this word before, but it seems appropriate. A momster is what happens to a mom after she counts to three. You ever gotten there, moms? All your friends are coming. Let me turn into the nicest mom in the world. And then finally, sometimes I open my mouth and my mother comes out. We too sort of echo our parents. The way that we are brought up has a deep forming influence on all of us. So I started that today because obviously it's Mother's Day. But it's also a day when we're going to look at some maternal images that are in the scriptures. Some mothering images for God. And I have to start by saying that Nicole had absolutely nothing to do with this altar decoration today. As a matter of fact, when I told her that I was going to take stuff from the garage sale and put it on the altar, she said, "You're kidding." And I said, "No, we're really going to do it." And she said, "No, you're not." So this is not her exquisite, delicate, graceful taste. This is yard sale chic on the altar today. And so I went in earlier in the week, and Francie Seaman picked out this lovely bear for me, a little mother bear. And then, if you couldn't see it, this is an eagle that's sort of draped over the cross. She said, "No, don't put it on the cross." Not Francie, but Nicole. And then this little mother hen with her little chicks underneath. And I did that because it perfectly fit with my sermon title and these images that we find in the scriptures for the ways that God is described like a mother. God's love, God's care, God's providence, God's protection for us. So I'd like us to take a look at some of those descriptions that we find throughout scripture. We heard two of them read earlier today, but it goes all the way back to the beginning in Genesis. In Genesis 1:27, when women and men are created in God's image, it says, "Humankind was created as God's reflection. In the divine image, God created them. Female and male, God made them." Which is to say, whether we are men or women, we both reflect back who God is, and God is in each of us. So from the very beginning. It speaks of that. The beautiful passage that Dottie read from Hosea. Hosea has this great language about this fierce, intense love of God for the people who have strayed off a path. And Hosea is, on behalf of God, trying to draw them back in. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, speaking on behalf of God. I who took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. It's a mothering, maternal image of picking up a child and feeding a child, bringing them to your cheek. A couple chapters later, it gets the other side of motherhood, this fiercely protective side. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and tear them asunder. And so this is God's protection of God's children. In Deuteronomy 32, like the eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, God spreads wings to catch you and carries you on pinions, this mothering, hovering eagle over a nest. And I started playing with that image in my mind a little bit this week. And what's a good mother eagle does what? You know, brings food for the kids and the children and watches them grow and helps them nurture them. But what else does a good mother eagle do? Kicks them out of the nest, right? And makes them fly on their own. What would it do to your conception of God, this eagle God, and mother eagle God, to be the one that pushes us to risk and to fly on our own when we are capable and to dare? I have a wonderful picture of God in my head because of that. In Isaiah 66, it talks about the comfort of a mother God. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Or in Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. A mother never forgets her children, it says. Or in Isaiah 42, where God is in labor like a mother. For a long time I have held my peace, I have kept myself still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and I will pant. God so exasperated with the people and so longing to be back in right relationship. Or in Psalm 131, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. Or Psalm 123, as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, Yahweh, until you show us your mercy. Or the mother hen image from Matthew 23, when Jesus is speaking over Jerusalem, 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 the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. This is a longing, aching mother's heart to gather the children under her wings. All of those images are in the scripture. And we are used to a lot of male language. And, you know, God, and it was very intentional that I sang the Lord's Prayer today. So we'd pay attention to that phrase. That prayer begins, Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And those images are helpful too. But isn't it wonderful that the Bible, even though you wouldn't expect it, given that it's largely a pretty patriarchal book, all of these other images for God sneak in. They all make their way in. It's because none of those images for God are enough on their own. We wouldn't want God only to be like that fierce mother bear. We need God to be gentle and tender. We wouldn't want God to only be the one pushing us out of the nest all the time. But we need all of these images of God. And can you think of others that don't refer to mothers or fathers for that matter? What other images of God can you think of that are in the scripture? There are lots of them. You know the Bible. Don't show me you don't. Any. Huh? Mighty rock. Oh, I know they're going to start rolling off your lips any second now. A shepherd? What else?
Water.
Light. shield. You know, you just start to think of these images, they cascade out. The biblical writers use so many different metaphors and descriptors to talk about God because God is bigger than any one of them, any single image for God. God goes beyond our description, and our language just pushes as close as we can get to it. I want to turn for a moment to one of a leading theologian and expert on parenting, Stephen Colbert. I was reading this book a number of years ago, and I came to a part on just talking about parenting, and it just made me laugh out loud. It was that good. And he was talking about, you know, how we are all trained to not play favorites in our families because that can be really damaging to our kids long term. You want to make sure that your kids are equally loved. Well, he sort of takes the opposite tack. He said, "I think you should have favorites, and I think you should tell your kids that you have a favorite. But just don't tell them which one." So all the rest of their lives, they have to work for that, to be the favorite one. Now, I think it's all, of course, very tongue-in-cheek. But I want to tell you about my mom, who's no longer with us. My mom died back in 2000, and I miss her. So Mother's Day is a bittersweet day. I am very much aware that I don't get to call her or don't get to send her a card on this day. But I had a great mom. And my mom was not the Stephen Colbert method of parenting. My mom believed that she should love each of her children equally. There should be no favorites. We should all be her favorites. And she took this to the nth degree. It became sort of a running joke in our family. But, you know, deep down, we all appreciate it. I have an older sister, Kathy, and a younger brother, Randy. And my brother arrived on my sister's birthday back in 1964. So they were born the same day, 7 years apart. Which meant that as a kid growing up, I had a brother and a sister having a birthday on the same day, and I wasn't having a birthday. So my mom started a tradition in our family of unbirthday presents. On their birthday, I would get one present so that I would be included, and I would know that I was loved and cherished and valued on their day. And on my birthday, they would each get an unbirthday present too. And this persisted as we were going through elementary school, then through junior high school, and then through high school, and then into young adulthood. Holly even would get unbirthday presents on my birthday. So the tradition carried over as we got married. And my mom, from time to time, would say, "Oh, I wish we could stop doing this on birthday." Now, she was the only person keeping this tradition alive, mind you. But it was emblematic of the way my mother really did love us equally. The other thing about my mom, and my brother and sister and I, we will joke about this mercilessly. We did it to her face as well as behind her back. It was that if you said something nice about one of us, for example, I was a good athlete in high school or won an award for something, and as soon as somebody would compliment her about me, her immediate go-to would be to talk about her other kids. "Oh, but did you know about my daughter? Did you know about my other son?" And it was just sort of a wonderful thing, and we could predict it, and it would happen all the time, and we teased her about it. But what she was really saying was that I have three children, and I love them all, and I'm proud of them all. And I don't have a favorite, I have three favorites. And she did it her whole life long. I'm grateful for that. I started off with some sort of snarky ones, but I want to end with a nice one. A mom is someone who sees the best in her kids even when they drive her crazy. A mom is synonymous for unconditional love. See also Superwoman. I thank God that I had a mom who taught me that I was her favorite. And so was my brother. And so was my sister. And I am so grateful that we have a God who says, "You are God's favorite, but so are you. And so are you. And so am I." That we have a God who loves us tenderly and fiercely like a mother loves a child. Thanks be to God. And thanks on this day to my mom, too.